Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to talk to us live. As always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We take your questions, your comments, and opinions there as well. What we assume to be the first fully controlled Paul Heyman Monday Night Raw happened last night, and to tell you that it was a smashing success would be ridiculous. I think we all know that this was mediocre at best. Some good moments, some really bad moments. We're going to be discussing them all, but before we get to it, if you are a politically sensitive person, which I'm not, but some of you might be, then you may want to skip the first 15 minutes of this show. Because a friend had brought to my attention that last night, Jim Cornette made a rather unusual tweet. Now, Jim Cornette is not a person I have a ton of respect for. And I don't care if people think that's wrong of me and blasphemous. What has Jim Cornette done? Jim Cornette's a guy who was lucky to make a living in a business at a time when guys like him could make a living in the business. Jim Cornette is a guy so stupid he doesn't realize when a guy like Enzo Amore is marking him out. Jim Cornette's a guy who still thinks it's 1970. So I don't really listen to a lot that Jim Cornette says, but now and then I'll hear him, his opinion on this or his opinion on that. And Jim Cornette, the one thing Jim Cornette likes is Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette just likes to hear himself talk because Jim Cornette is one of these people who has convinced himself he is never wrong. So last night he tweets and says, if you are a Republican, you better not admit it to me, because if you are, I will block you from Twitter because you do not deserve the entertainment that I will give you. Now, I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent. I don't care who you are. If you do not find that bigoted and an exact duplicate of the thing he claims to hate, then you're not a very smart person. See, the very definition of a bigot or a racist is to blindly dislike someone for their race, sexuality, political ideology, religion, or whatever. To blindly lump everyone into one group. That is the very definition of prejudice and bigotism. So when someone like Jim Cornette says, I hate prejudiced people, I hate bigoted people, and then you are one yourself, that shows the mentality of the human being. By the way, let's talk a little bit about his morals. If tomorrow Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who is certainly a Republican, was to call up Jim Cornette and say, would you like the book? Jim Cornette would be there with his nose square up Vince McMahon's ass, saying, yes, Mr. McMahon. Yes, Mr. McMahon. Just sign my paycheck, Mr. McMahon. If Vince McMahon was following him on Twitter, Vince McMahon's not getting blocked. Only you, the little peons, who aren't worthy of his words, who aren't worthy of his 1970s wrestling humor. Jim Cornette is a complete and utter moron. He is irrelevant. He is a bigot. He's a stooge. And furthermore, he's a coward. And the reason he's a coward is he won't debate anyone. He just wants to shout over people and say, no, you're wrong, you're an idiot, you're this, you're that. Yeah, he don't want to debate anyone because he cannot win that debate. So when someone actually confronts him with facts on his Twitter, he says, I'm blocking everyone, everyone who disagrees with me, because I can't live in a world where someone disagrees with me, because maybe that makes me wrong. And I can't be wrong. I'm Jim Cornette. Get over yourself. Please, get over yourself. And if someone, anyone within the sound of my voice knows that man, I'm begging you to tell him to debate me. I'm begging you to have that guy come. I'll come on his show. You don't have to come on here because I know everybody, oh, you just want to get a big for yourself. No, I'll come on his. Because someone with a mind that narrow and that stupid should be called out for who they are. Jim Cornette, block the world. Go right ahead. Live in a bubble where every single person who comes in contact with you says, oh, you're so wonderful. You're so right. You're so magnificent. Live in that bubble, you insecure little nerd. But don't you ever dare to presume that every single person that listens to you has to agree with you. Because the arrogance and pomposity and stupidity of a statement like that makes you a disgrace to this business. You understand? You run your mouth about how everybody's a disgrace to the business. Enzo Amore's a disgrace to the business. Joey Janela's a disgrace to the business. Kenny Omega's a disgrace to the business. You're a disgrace to the business! And you better understand that people see you clearly for who you are. And it ain't much. Anyway, let's move on with this Monday Night Raw because, folks, I got to tell you, I was pretty disappointed. I wish I could tell you, oh, my God, they built off the momentum of Extreme Rules because, man, Extreme Rules, I gave it an A+. I loved every minute of Extreme Rules. I was so psyched last night. I'm saying, man, Extreme Rules was so great. I can't wait. We start out with Brock Lesnar. Everything's good. Paul Heyman says, well, we're going to hold a 10-man multi-federation battle royal to decide the number one contender. Well, this is done for no other reason than they really don't have one. They haven't really built anybody up. Don't believe me? Well, let's look on who's in it. Randy Orton. What has Randy Orton done to deserve a title shot? What has he done? He's already lost to Brock Lesnar, and what is it exactly that Randy Orton has done in the last 2 months that would make him a top guy in this federation? Oh, nothing. Cesaro, as much as I love Cesaro, did Cesaro just not lose to Aleister Black? So why is he now in competition to meet Brock Lesnar instead of Aleister Black? Who beat him? Ridiculous. Sami Zayn? Someone please explain to me how Sami Zayn's the number one contender for anything. Or even in contention to be the number one contender for anything. Big E, because his solo performances had been so wonderful, because we all remember when he fought, oh, wait a minute, the only person he's fought solo in the last, I don't know how long, he lost. Baron Corbin, who just got finished losing. Bobby Lashley just got finished losing. These are the guys he says are the cream of the crop. These are the top guys. The upper echelon. The most deserving. Really? Well, they've all lost. Or they're irrelevant. You had Braun Strowman, that's legit. You had Roman Reigns, that's legit. You had Seth Rollins, that's legit. That's it. Rey Mysterio? Rey Mysterio just got beat up by Samoa Joe, who's also not in it. So you had three guys. That's the best you could do, because that's what's happened within the WWE. They built up no one. So now they got to convince you Sami Zayn is a legitimate number one contender for Brock Lesnar's belt. Cesaro is a legitimate contender for Brock Lesnar's belt. Big E is. They got to try to convince you of that because they have no one. This is what I told you on yesterday's show. Paul Heyman needs time to build up number one contenders. He doesn't have any. So when I read these names off, I'm saying to myself, well, it's damn obvious that it's either going to be Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins. If it's Roman Reigns, fans are going to say, oh my God, here we go again, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, boo-hoo-hoo. And if it's Seth Rollins, the whole thing is absolutely irrelevant because you should have just said, well, you'll get your rematch. So right away, the show is off to a bad start, Mike, because I'm saying to myself, this battle royal is illogical because 7 out of 10 of these people do not belong here.
You're right, and that's the thing. Think about it. This would have been a perfect – if this is supposed to be a multi-federational thing, then where's Adam Cole, you know? Where's the NXT UK champion? You know, if this is supposed to be a multi-federational deal, you know, well, I mean, you could even stick the U.S. champion and a Continental champion in there, right? I mean,
I would assume you should. If it's the cream of the crop, then where's AJ Styles? Where's Shinsuke Nakamura? Where's Aleister Black, who just defeated Cesaro? Where are these people? So that was a joke. So we've already started off Raw with a joke. With a joke. Even Paul Heyman can't save it. Paul Heyman literally says, oh, here's a guy I really hope does win it. Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn? You hope Sami Zayn wins it. Why? Does anybody think that's going to sell out SummerSlam? That's going to be it, boy. Sami Zayn versus Brock Lesnar, that's going to be a barn burner. Can't wait to see it. Big E versus Brock Lesnar. Oh, Rey Mysterio versus Brock Lesnar. That's just ludicrous. That's what that is. That shows you how weak. Here's the thing. You have the strongest roster you've ever had. And the largest roster you've ever had, and this is how you've promoted them to the point where you can't find 10 guys worthy. Not because they're not really worthy, because you haven't booked them to be worthy. That's the problem. There's 50 guys worthy if you book them to be worthy, but you haven't. So, Todd, this is not what I would call a great opening to Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely not. It's not a great open. It was just, you said 7 out of 10 of these guys didn't win matches, except for Braun Strowman, a legit chance, Roman Reigns, or Seth Rollins. And the rest of the guys wasn't.
That's it. Those are the legit guys. You want to throw in Randy Orton and say, well, he hasn't lost either. Okay. Then 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. So then we get to Ricochet and the Usos take on Bobby Roode and the Revival in a 2 out of 3 falls match, in which the first fall is, I don't know, 40 seconds. No one should ever lose like that in 40 seconds, but especially when you're a champion. Looks ridiculous. And nobody wants to see those type of matches, by the way. It's just like, what was that? So then the second fall goes to the Revival and Roode. And even the booking is bad. Because we finally see Roode. Can we let Roode get a win? Can we let Roode be a guy who pinned somebody in that second fall? So we say to ourselves, well, you know, Roode did get a pin in there. No, we can't. So what ends up happening, of course, Ricochet and the Usos take out the Revival and Rude, and then AJ and the Club come down. There's a melee that ensues. AJ and the Club are left standing strong. I mean, that's okay. I don't mind that AJ and the Club comes down. What I do mind is that your champions look pretty ineffective, and Rude looked like you picked him out of the audience. Not a good match. And really just a setup for later on with the Club and AJ Styles and Ricochet. So far we're not off to a great start. Because we've kind of got illogical stuff going on here. You mean to tell me that Ricochet, had he won on Extreme Rules, would have been booked to be the Usos' tag team partner last night? See what I mean about the logic holes? I just don't like it. So, yeah, I mean, look, considering who's in this ring, the Usos, one of the top teams in the world, the Revival, a great, great, great tag team, Ricochet, who's a fantastic athlete, and Bobby Roode, who's great in his own right. I have to say this match was pretty horrible, Mike.
Yeah, this match was pretty horrible, and it was basically a setup, you know, like you said, for what would eventually come later. You know, the thing is I mean, that's fine to me, but again, 40 seconds for the first fall. That's basically what made it bad for me, was that first fall.
You're right, Mike, and here's the problem. Why is that booked that way? Let's say you say, well, we have to have a quick fall because this match can only last this long. Well, why don't you make the quick fall the second fall then? Why don't you make the first fall as long as you made the second fall, and then make the second fall a quick roll-up like, well, the guy wasn't ready? Wouldn't that make more sense? Because then they're a little more wore down in the match. See, that's where logic leaves the building. Someone wasn't smart enough to say, wait a minute. Let's not make the first fall the really, really, really fast one. They didn't take a commercial break after that. So they weren't up on a commercial break. Let's not make the first fall the quick one. Let's make the second fall the quick one. Let's make it look like Jay or Jimmy Uso got surprised. They were kind of celebrating the first fall, and all of a sudden, boom. How come that couldn't happen? Wouldn't that have been better? I mean, these are the small attention to detail things that Paul Heyman is supposed to be famous for. And that's a terrible, terrible way to start that match. The Long Island crowd, by the way, they were hot for some of it, but I got news for you. This Long Island crowd was not happy with last night's show. At all. So the Viking Raiders come out and they're facing local competition or whatever. I guess that's okay. I mean, if you want to hit the reset button on these guys, it's a little late. They've already faced top teams. They've already faced the New Day. But if you want to hit the reset button on these guys and say, okay, we're starting them out again as if they just arrived, okay. They look good. They did a few moves that I hadn't seen before. They're trying to impress upon the crowd, these guys are the real deal. That's what they're trying to impress upon the crowd. I hope that if you're going to take Daniel Bryan away from his tag team, you rehook up the Bludgeon Brothers so that Luke Harper has something to do, because I'd love to see the Viking Raiders and the Bludgeon Brothers. But anyway, they squashed them, so there's really not much to talk about there. It's just weird how they've reset them. It's almost like they admit, well, we blew it with them the first time, so let's try again and see, maybe we'll come up with something better. So far I'm not liking this show too much, Mike. It's feeling wrong to me.
Right, and that's the thing. It does feel wrong. I mean, you can't help but compare what happened last night, or, well, two nights ago, to what happened last night. You can't help it, you know. Last night, two nights ago, what are we giving? We give it an A, right? I gave it an A,
yeah.
You gave it an A plus, and Todd gave it an A plus,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
You can't, but you see, the problem is a lot of times, and they've done this before, and they'll keep doing this for some reason. A lot of times, if we end up giving a show the previous night an A plus, the next night's gonna be maybe an average show at best. And I don't know why
they don't seem to be able to build off any momentum. You're right; they don't seem to be able to build off any momentum. Now, I got to tell you that backstage, by the way, Maniac in the chat room saying, you got to understand Paul Heyman doesn't have the whole book. Well, no, he doesn't. Of course he has to answer to Vince McMahon. But then don't come out and publicly say, I am the top guy and I run this show now, which is what Paul Heyman said, because then fans are going to say, well, then you're responsible for this. And if you're going to give Paul Heyman the credit for the good things, then you got to give him the blame for the bad. And there was plenty bad. Last night. Plenty. Just little stupid things. Like, why is that first fall so quick when it could have been the second? We can forgive a second fall that's quick. A first fall that's quick, it takes all the momentum away from the match. All of it. So anyway, we get a the promoting theme last night was a lot of these characters got weakened. Seth Rollins particularly looks confused about why the fans aren't really buying into him no more. He really, like, he's going this, and he's overacting, and he's being overdramatic. If I have to climb the hill, I will crawl my way out of the pits of hell to face Brock Lesnar one more time. Yeah, this is getting melodramatic and nonsensical. Somebody has to put a bug in Seth Rollins' ear that your nickname might be CrossFit Jesus, but you aren't Jesus. You're not dying on the cross for someone, okay? All you have to do is go out and say, and Corey Graves, to his credit, pointed it out, Seth Rollins did the same thing he's accusing Brock Lesnar of doing. He says, Brock Lesnar's not fit to be the champion. You did the same thing. All Seth Rollins had to say was, and maybe it was written for him, but then you know what? Seth Rollins is a big enough star to say, I ain't saying that. All Seth Rollins had to say was, that's the rules of the game. I use those rules. And I became a champion. Brock Lesnar used those rules. Now he's the champion. But at the end of the day, that's not a match. At the end of the day, that's Brock Lesnar taking advantage of a situation which he's entitled to do. But I fought Brock Lesnar one time. And I beat Brock Lesnar one time. Brock Lesnar didn't beat me last night. He cashed in on a bad situation, much like I did in his match. Now he's got to beat me again. And we both know he can't do it. That's all he has to say. He doesn't have to come out like he's trying to, you know, liberate the Jewish people from the Holocaust. I will struggle beyond my means. I will give up food for a year. It you know, please. It actually made me laugh because I was like, wow, he's going way overboard with this. He's trying to make himself like this big martyr, and the fans are actually rejecting that. And he doesn't realize, wait, the fans are kind of rejecting this. The fans sort of like the type of good guy that says, hey, no excuses. He followed the rules and he won. Doesn't make him better than me. It makes him an opportunist, and that's fine because that's what Money in the Bank is. But he's still got to fight me. And he's not going to win. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say he's not fit to be the champion. I wanted to be the champion. Come on. Please. I'm starting to lose this feel for Seth Rollins, I'm telling you. And so are the fans. So are the fans. Now, here's a good thing that happened on the show. We had a great skit with Drew McIntyre and Cedric Alexander. Great skit. Where Drew McIntyre kind of breaks into the dressing room and says, you know, I'm sure you thought that was really funny. I'm sure you thought that was great, but you basically signed your own death certificate. And Cedric Alexander says, look, I'm just trying to take advantage of an opportunity. That's the same thing anybody else would do. And they went nose to nose, and he said, look, the joke's going to be on you. And everybody in the background took it serious. It was good. It was a very well-done skit. It made me interested in the match. So at least for that particular skit, I thought it was well done. Then Drew McIntyre comes to the ring. Now, again, I don't like the booking of this match. Not because of who won. I'm all for that. I'm all for that upset. Cedric Alexander needed something. Drew McIntyre was portrayed as a guy who was so overconfident that he fucked up. But you can't let Cedric Alexander dominate the first part of that match then, and I'll tell you why. Because then it makes Drew McIntyre look like a moron, not an egomaniac, when he's self-confident. Because if I got into the ring with a guy who I said, I'm going to beat this guy senseless. He's no match for me at all. And for the first 3 minutes, he's kicking my ass. I rethink that. And I start to take it seriously. So the way the match should have been booked is Drew McIntyre is kicking the ever-living hell out of Cedric Alexander. To the point where the announcers are saying, you might want to just stop this match. Drew's just making an example out of him. That's all he's doing. And then, because he's overconfident, he tries to put him in that move. Alexander rolls him up, 1, 2, 3. And then you can legitimately say, well, Drew McIntyre kind of beat himself, didn't he? He got overconfident. And he blew it. But the way this transpired, it makes Drew McIntyre look stupid. You're not overconfident against a guy who for 3 minutes is dominating you. So, Mike, again, I didn't like the booking of the match.
Yeah, I didn't like the booking of the match either. And I cannot believe that Paul Heyman would write something like this. I just can't believe it. I don't want to believe it, you know, that this was a Paul Heyman thing, that he wrote this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's booking the actual matches. I don't know who's actually producing the matches. But again, logic. The little things is what counts. We get the psychology of it. Drew McIntyre is overconfident. He looks past a great athlete like Cedric Alexander, and he gets surprised. But then, for God's sake, you can't have Cedric Alexander winning the beginning of the match. You can let him get in 2 or 3 moves in the beginning, and then he just totally gets dominated. Because then Drew McIntyre would be able to say, well, okay, caught me off guard for a second or two, but I'm totally kicking his ass now. I could pin him at any time. And then, oops, roll up. But to say, well, I'm being dominated for 3 minutes, and I still think I should be overconfident about victory, that just makes Drew McIntyre look dumb. And you don't want to make Drew McIntyre look dumb. You did a good job of it last night, though. I'm not against the ending, Todd. I'm just against the way the whole match was produced.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I'm surprised Paul Heyman wrote that match. And
I don't know if he did.
Either way, it was just not the right way to have to win the match, but I just didn't like how that was booked either.
No, it was weird. To say the least, it's weird. I'm not even going to talk about the 24/7 thing because while it was funny, it's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. If you showed that to someone who never watched pro wrestling and said, here's what I'm watching, they would say to you, this is probably the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You expect me to believe that this is in any way, shape, or form some kind of a sport or a combat between two men? A guy in his underwear and on his wedding night in a bed? Funny, fine, but it's just, it's silly. And it takes away, now I'm beginning to believe that the 24/7 belt is taking away credibility from wrestling in general. It's a nice little comedic distraction, but it's also a little bit juvenile and insulting. So we get Samoa Joe down and Finn Balor down in a battle that's like, oh my God, what's going to happen here? Finn Balor just lost his belt. Samoa Joe hasn't won anything in so long, I can't remember when. And one of these guys is bound to lose, unless it's a draw. And in a pretty quick and very, very underdramatic finish, Samoa Joe just wraps him up and pins him. No coquina clutch. No major blow. Just wrap you up and pin you. You're a nobody. I told you, Finn Balor has fell out of favor. Now, I think there is going to be something going on later. I'll talk about that in 1 minute. But this match in itself, I guess they're trying to use it to rehab Joe, but it didn't even work in that respect because it wasn't like Joe mauled him. It wasn't like Joe went in there and was like, oh my God, I've never seen Joe so violent and so vicious and so determined. He just rolled him up. It was really weird. And once again, when Finn Balor came to ringside, I watched his body mannerisms, I watched his facial expressions, and I knew he was losing. Just like I did at Extreme Rules pre-show. Finn Balor gives away the ending of the match with his facial expressions. When he's going to win, he has a totally different look on his face, marching down that rampway than he does when he loses. And that's not a good thing. There are a few wrestlers who do that. They don't have a poker face. And you can see that Finn Balor's not happy. Now, to try to appease Finn Balor, they wrote this match that, okay, you lose, but it's not like you got crushed. You got rolled up and just couldn't kick him out off. And then you go berserk and beat the hell out of Samoa Joe. Give him your finisher anyway, because, of course, being a sore loser is great for being a face. It's great to be a sore loser. That means you're a good guy in today's world. Terrible booking. But then as Finn Balor is celebrating losing, which is a really weird thing, I don't think I've ever seen anybody celebrate losing. The lights begin to go out one at a time. And when they come back on, Bray Wyatt in this new mask that he has Finn Balor in the Sister Abigail and delivers it. Now the good news here is Bray Wyatt looks terrific in this mask. It's a very weird looking thing. It kind of suits him pretty good. I don't know how he can wrestle in it. We'll see. Or if he's even gonna. Giving some guy one move and it doesn't mean he's gonna start a match and finish a match in that mask. I don't know. But I would assume so. That's what it looks like. No reason why. But now we are to assume his first feud is Finn Balor. Or is it? Perhaps he's going to recruit Finn Balor, and we're going to have the demon and this other creature. I don't know which. What I do know is this. If you're going to feud with Finn Balor, then it's probably a really good idea that Finn Balor doesn't lose every match he's in. Because now when Bray Wyatt, if that's the case, beats Finn Balor, people are going to say, so what? Samoa Joe beat him. Nakamura beat him. No big deal. Why couldn't you have left Finn Balor? If you didn't want him to have the belt, then fine. Have Nakamura cheat to win somehow. But then don't put him in a match with Joe where he loses, because now he doesn't look like a guy that's any big deal if Bray Wyatt wins. So again, I kind of question that. The good news on this is I think that Bray Wyatt looked pretty good in the ring, as far as the mask and the whole outfit and everything, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I think was it like a year and a half ago? What was it? 2 years ago when Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt was in a feud. I think they didn't get that started and didn't finish it. I think this is like the start where they left off from a couple years ago.
Yeah, you might be right. When he was going to debut himself as the cross-dressing Sister Abigail or whatever. God, thank God that didn't happen. Thank God that didn't happen. So I don't know whether we're going to get the demon Finn Balor against the, you know, maniacal Bray Wyatt character. I don't know what we're going to get. Or if Finn Balor... See, when you lose like this, they're cycling you down to rebuild you. So maybe Finn Balor's turning heel. Maybe he's going to go with Bray Wyatt. I don't know. Because I can't explain suddenly why Finn Balor is a punching bag. A little bit weird. So we'll see where this is going. But Mike, it was, for what it was, I didn't like the Samoa Joe match much with Balor because I don't think it really helped Joe. It certainly made Balor look stupid. But I guess it was just there to get the debut of Bray Wyatt, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was there. And look, Bray Wyatt, he also had the contacts that made his eyes look yellow. Yeah, so it looked good. The mask looked good. The hair from behind, the hair coming out of the mask looked good. I mean, everything about that character looks really, really good to me. And that's that. Now, I guess we can get into it now. The rumor is that Balor has asked for some time off. Now, if he's asked for some time off, then how they booked the match makes sense, and they're not going to get around to him and Bray Wyatt right away. It's going to be Bray Wyatt and somebody else. But again, who else is going to be for Bray Wyatt if it's not Finn Balor?
Yeah, but then even if that's the case, Mike, then I still disagree with it, because if that's the case and we're not going to see Finn Balor pass last night, then why didn't Bray Wyatt do far worse than him? Why didn't we make it look like, well, Bray Wyatt has just taken out Finn Balor for a long, long time? See, that's where the logic goes in. If I got a guy coming to me saying I want time off, and I say, okay, well, I'll give you a month off or whatever, and then we're going to start this big feud when you come back, the guy who's going to be in that feud is going to take you out, and he's going to take you out with more than just one finisher. He's going to make it look like, you know, I want the fans to say, well, no wonder he's out for a month. Look what the hell happened to him. So again, wasted opportunity, even if that is the case, then it's poorly handled. And these are the things I expect Paul Heyman to pay attention to, because these are the things he always has. And suddenly now, these things don't matter. Then to add insult to injury, we see Zack Ryder in Long Island, and I'm like, well, my God, thank God. Good for him. And he's going to fight Mike Kanellis. And Maria Kanellis says, no, because even pregnant, I'm going to take this match, because please tell me the last intergender match the WWE's had. Please tell me what State Athletic Commission doctor okayed a pregnant woman to wrestle. Please tell me why you're ready to fight Zack Ryder tonight, but you wouldn't even get in the ring with Becky Lynch 2 weeks ago. See what I mean? Stupidity. No logic, no continuity, stupidity. You could have got to the same thing and not done that. You could have just had her say, I'm going to cancel this match. I'm going out to cancel this match, because you're just going to embarrass yourself. And when you embarrass yourself, you embarrass me and your unborn child. You can't beat him. You know you can't beat him. So I'm just going to go out and cancel the match and have him say, no, come on, don't cancel the match. I can beat this guy. I can beat this guy. You don't have to pretend like she's going to fight him. Just silly. Absolutely ludicrous. And then he loses in like 4 seconds. And we know what the buildup here is, because now she's saying it's my unborn child. She's not even saying it's his. The buildup here is he's going to snap when he finds out that it may not be his child. And he's going to get a build. He's going to get a push. Maria Canales is going to go with some dude. And we're either going to find out one of two things. Either A, that was her master plan to make him so aggravated and mad and upset that the real man in him came out. And they'll come back to being a couple. Or she's a bitch who is going to try to oppose him with some other guys, and she's going to get what's coming to her. And that's what the plot is. But please make it tiny, just a tiny bit logical. Just a tiny bit so I can believe it. Because nothing here I believed. Nothing here I believed. So when the fans do not get into this, please understand they're not getting into it because they don't believe it. You can't suspend your disbelief this bad. Now in the chat room, Maniac saying, let's hope they don't fuck up Bray Wyatt again. Well, this is it for Bray Wyatt. If they fuck this up, there's no coming back. There's no rehabbing the character. There's no changing him. There's no let's find something else for him to do. He's done. And they better know that coming in. Bray Wyatt has been able to do what many, many people cannot do, and that's reinvent himself enough so that he still seems fresh and the fans still buy into him. Most people get one or two shots at that, and that's it. Bray Wyatt has survived some horrible booking, some ridiculous ideas, and it's only because he's so charismatic and he's so damn good on the mic and he's such a good actor. That's the only reason. And if they blow it this time, there's no coming back. There is no reinventing. There is no, well, we'll cycle him down and bring him, but no, forget it. Send him packing. Because if you can't hit a home run with this guy and this character, then you can't do anything with him. Then there's nothing more to do. Because you're not going to get anything better than this. This is as good as it's going to get. This is the equivalent of a softball pitch right down the middle and you foul it off and then you say, well, maybe I can hit those high inside fastballs. No. If you can't make contact with a cripple pitch, then you're not going to, hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. So this is it for Bray Wyatt. So let's hope the powers that be understand that. Anyway, Mike, this whole Canales thing, it could be good if it was handled logically so people believe it. But unfortunately, last night was so unbelievable that it feels like a really bad high school play where you almost feel sorry for the actors because you're like, they're embarrassing themselves.
Right. They put it to you this way. They didn't do this with The Miz when, we were talking about Maurice announcing her pregnancies, They never did this with The Miz. I mean, this is, you know how good Mike Bennett can be, or Mike Canales, whatever you want to call him. We know how good he can be and what he can do.
I mean, I'm not against the angle. I'm not against this angle. I just, please make it realistic. Because she went from being madly in love with him to I hate his guts and I just want to humiliate him at every opportunity in 1.2 seconds. If you could have built this up so people say, well, this feels real. She's starting to get really disenchanted with him. And some of it's her fault because she's putting too much pressure on him. And I understand she's pregnant, but she's getting to be a bit of a bitch. Then okay. But just ridiculous stuff like, I'm going to go down and wrestle Zack Ryder. Yeah, that's going to work. So that was dumb. So, Todd, I'm not buying into this. It just looks like a high school play to me.
I think you're absolutely right. It looks like more like a elementary school play, technically.
it's not very convincing. Okay, so let's run through these a little bit quicker. The club and the Lucha House Party. That's a pretty good matchup, actually. I didn't have any problem with the match. Ricochet coming down, I didn't have any problem with that. Overall, this was fine. Overall, this was a good way to display all the club at the same time. It was a good way to display that Ricochet is not going to be intimidated by the club. He's going to come down here. He wants his pound of flesh from AJ Styles. So this was one of the parts of the show, Mike, that I thought was fine.
I thought it was fine, too. And look, here's the deal with the club. We know there are two other people that could be in this little group if they want to put them there, you know?
Yep.
If they want to put them there. And that's the thing. Now, if it's true that Balor's going away for a while, and the way they're treating him on the way going away for a while is not like he's going to, you know, be a face when he comes back, then it would make sense for him to go with AJ and Gallows and Anderson. Now, I don't know what they want to do with Nakamura, but it would make sense, and that's where logic would come in. Logic would dictate the way they treated him on the way out, and the way they treated him on the way in, coming back in, would dictate this, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to expand the club right away. I don't think Nakamura is ever going to have anything to do with it. I think they're going to pretend that never happened and keep him separate or form a different version of it or something. But Balor, I don't know. I don't know what they'll do with Balor. I personally don't think Vince McMahon and company is in love with Finn Balor. Even when he was the champion, it was like May, the last time he was on television. It's not like they were actually giving him TV time or anything. So, you know, I don't think they're overly optimistic about Finn Balor. Anyway, then we get a train wreck. And that is the Fatal 4-Way women's match to decide who will fight Becky Lynch. And I know, once again, I'm going to get a lot of people writing into me saying, oh, you're misogynistic and horrible. But here's the truth, folks, and the truth sometimes hurts. Women's wrestling is dying in the WWE. And the reason it's dying in the WWE is half of them are no damn good. I know that sounds harsh. But here's the problem. When I watch a match with four girls and it looks like not one of the four have any idea what they're doing in that ring, like they just told them, get in the ring right now and we have no script and we don't know what's happening, just call it when you get in there because, ladies, we don't know what's going on. That's what that looked like. It was a mess. It was slow. It was awkward. It had no pacing. Half of the moves looked like they didn't land. The other half looked like they were screwed up. It looked like four people who had never been in the ring before, cosplaying professional wrestlers. And these are top people. So now you tell me what went wrong, because I know some of these girls can wrestle. So what is it? And don't tell me, well, they didn't have enough time. They had too much time. This goddamn match was the longest match on Raw. Fans were chanting, this is awful. And it was awful. What the hell happened last night? Why are all the women's matches so slow and methodical and nothing looks like it hurts and everything looks like it's a clusterfuck? Are these women training? Are they not getting enough time in the ring? Are they not taking it seriously anymore? What the hell is happening? I don't want to see a kick that barely even touches somebody and then the girl walks 8 feet and throws herself over the top rope to have the announcer say, the kick propelled her out of the ring. No, it didn't. She walked over and threw herself over the goddamn rope. And I don't want to see four girls standing around saying, what was next? Who was supposed to do something? I'll just put you in a headlock because I have no idea where we are in this match. Why? This is your big match. This is your big opportunity. You were given 20 minutes on this show in an elimination match to show what the women's division is all about. And it was a big, huge pile of horse shit. Fans are chanting, you suck. Fans were chanting, this is awful. When they said one girl was eliminated, which was, I believe, Carmella was the first girl out. Yeah, that's a smart move. Carmella's the first girl out, and then they say, oh, but the match continues. Fans thought it was over, and they were like, oh, you heard them groaning. Oh, my God, every one of them's got to be eliminated. This was awful. There is no other way to put it. It's awful. The only person that anyone is remotely interested in the women's division, is Becky Lynch. Yeah, littler kids like Bailey, but not so much. It's Becky Lynch, and that's it. The minute Becky Lynch says, well, I got something to say, and starts to get in the ring, everybody starts chanting, Becky, Becky, Becky. Nobody chanted for any of these girls all night long. They're only interested in Becky Lynch. And they're not interested in any of the contenders, which means her matches are irrelevant. So they try to make it relevant. But then Becky Lynch says something very odd to Natty. She says, I'm much better in war, apparently, than I am in love. What the hell does that mean? I mean, I felt like that was an unscripted line. I felt like maybe something's up. Because why would you say that? I thought everything is well and great, and you and Seth Rollins are the, you know, Prince Charles and Princess Diana of the WWE, and you're saying, well, I'm not very good at love. What's that mean? So that's the only thing that caught my attention. Aside from that, is there anyone who is interested in Natty Neidhart versus Becky Lynch? Once again, you failed to build up any contenders. You failed to take any of these secondary women and make them stars in their own right. So we say, oh, my God, guess who's taking on Becky Lynch? That's going to be something, huh? No, we haven't seen these women for months. And then it's just throw them all in a ring. Throw them all in a ring. And her last one standing, that's the one who wins. That's lazy booking. That's not what I want from Paul Heyman. I forgive him only because what is he going to do? He's got 3 weeks till SummerSlam, and you failed to build up anyone. If her name wasn't Lacey Evans, we weren't seeing her. We were seeing Carmella run around with R-Truth. We were seeing the friendship or enemy ship between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, but only as it related to Bayley, and that was SmackDown. Naomi, when's the last time we've seen her? Come on. So that's the WWE's fault, Mike.
Yeah, it is the WWE's fault. If you were going to put Carmella, in this match, she should have been on a tear on the way to getting in this match. She should have taken away from R-Truth. She should have been on a tear, and then you put her in this match, Of course, you've got three women in there that were world champions, okay? That's the only saving grace for this thing. But again, it's poorly written, poorly produced, Natty's been around the sport for how long now?
Long time.
And Carmella's dad was in the sport at one point, too. So she's been around the sport for a long time. And let's see, who else was in this match? Naomi. Naomi's the best athlete in the company on the women's side. Well, maybe Charlotte may be a little bit better, but in terms of athletics. But she's one of the best athletes in the sport. So this should have been a better match than it was.
Here's the problem, Mike, and I'm not going to mince any words here, and I know a lot of people are going to be mad at me. They have no personality. Naomi has no personality. She's a great dancer, and she's a great athlete, and she can come down and do the entrance. You put a microphone in her hand, and she's just like, hi. Never going to work. Natty Neidhart has become boring. She just doesn't have a great personality. It doesn't transfer to camera. She may be a great wrestler. She has no personality. The girls that do, Carmella and Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss, why is she in the match? She just lost. Her and another girl couldn't beat Bayley. Why in the hell is she the number one contender for Becky Lynch? Makes no sense. But I'm not going to let these girls off the hook either, because they sucked. They had a big chance to put on a great fatal four-way that people would say, whoa. Man, that women's division's looking sharp. And instead, it made them all look like a bunch of rookie amateurs. You want to know why Becky Lynch is so popular? Because compared to looking at them, she's like gold. That's why. These girls better start taking it seriously. When you get an opportunity like this, you better put on a stellar match. Because if you put on that horse shit, you're going nowhere. It was awful. And Todd, the fans knew it was awful. They were chanting, this is awful.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was pretty boring. And that match was born between the four ladies in that ring, and Natty, Carmella, Alexa Bliss, and who was the fourth one? Oh, Naomi. I just felt like changing the channel on that match. Like, oh, come on now. I want to change.
There were times in that match where literally I said to myself, I am 100% convinced that none of these four girls have any idea what was supposed to come next. And there's no excuse for it. You're a professional. Your job is to go out there and put on a great match. You were given plenty of time. All I ever heard was, all the women's matches are 2 minutes. Yeah, because that's if we go 4 minutes, you forget. If we go 4 minutes, you get tired, apparently. It looked like they were moving in slow motion. You can't have that. I'm sorry. It's great if you say, I want the women to be equal to the men. Then they got to put in equal effort. It's not, they're going to be equal to the men, even though they get lost during the matches. They're not putting in equal effort to put on good matches, but we're still going to make it equal. It doesn't work that way. If you want to be equal to the men, then put on a match as good as. And last night you had a great opportunity to shine, and you all blew it. You all blew it. And this isn't the first time. I've been keeping a really close eye on the women's division, and a lot of these matches have been, at best. Fans are losing interest in the women's division and the athletes in it. With one or two exceptions, that's it. That's not good. Absolutely not good. We already covered the R-Truth thing. Is it funny? Yeah, it was funny. But look, it's getting silly. Now the 24/7 belt has just come down to a feud between Drake Maverick and R-Truth, and that's it. As we knew, eventually it was going to have to, because what are you going to do? Have everybody just run, like I said, from the guys from the Benny Hill show behind the champion with the music going, no, that's just stupid. So again, if you like that kind of stuff, you find it funny, cool. I don't. I just think it's dumb. R-Truth has some funny lines. He's a very, very, very charismatic guy. I don't know why you just can't put him in a regular matches. Why can't you do that? He still works at a really good rate. He's very charismatic. He's awesome on the mic. I just don't know why you can't. Why does he have to have this? Drake Maverick's the same way. Drake Maverick is very, very good on the mic. You hook him up with the right wrestlers as management, and he is a great, he'll be a great manager who occasionally fights. There's a lot of uncharted talent there that you need to really try to develop. R-Truth has still got a good run in him. Let him just go for, you know, mid-card status at least. Give Drake Maverick, okay, maybe you don't want the AOP, but give Drake Maverick a couple of guys to manage that really need a mouthpiece badly. And let him excel. Got a lot of talent there. So then we get to the 10-man. This is a terrible battle royal. Once again, I understand these guys put on hellaciously good matches at Extreme Rules. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they're whatever. But, man, again, no thought put into this. No thought put into it at all. Cesaro is the first guy out because, of course, he couldn't last longer than Sami Zayn. So for all those people who say, no, they're really building up Cesaro. They're going to make Cesaro. Yeah, he's so good, he's the first guy out. That's how much they think of him. You put on such a great match at Extreme Rules, Cesaro. You highlighted your talent so well that instead of making you one of the final four or five guys in the Battle Royal, you're the douche that gets kicked out first and ahead of Sami Zayn, who hasn't been doing anything for a month, and Big E, who's a tag team guy. Great. Fantastic. And by the way, let's make sure the announcers say Cesaro has all the skills to be there at the end so that when he gets thrown out first, they all look like idiots. Let's make sure we do that too. Again, the little things. And lo and behold, it comes down to Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, who are the only three people who really deserve to be in it, as we said at the beginning. These are the only three people who deserved it. And it comes down to them. And Seth Rollins is able to push both people out, but then, of course, Randy Orton, we'd forgotten, had went out through the middle rope and had hidden. And now he comes up behind Seth Rollins as if Randy Orton is going to beat Seth Rollins. So he unceremoniously gets thrown out by Seth Rollins, and there's Seth Rollins victorious. And this whole match was about nothing because all they had to say was you get your rematch at SummerSlam. This whole match and the whole concept and everything was just a big smoke and mirrors. When all they really had to do was say, starting Monday night, we're going to promote that Seth Rollins gets his big rematch. That's all. I know probably Paul's logic is, well, we got everybody on the show. Everybody got a little bit of time on camera. Okay. But it felt like, it felt very wooden. We all knew what was happening. We all knew who's going to win. And here's the worst thing of it all. Fans aren't into it. Fans didn't cheer wildly when Seth Rollins won. They weren't all yelling, burn it down, burn it down. They weren't yelling anything because they don't want to see it. Because really, between the two champions, it's not a good choice, either one of them. We've had Seth Rollins as champion for a decent amount of time, and his star is fading a little bit. And Brock Lesnar, being the part-time guy, maybe he's going to be a little more than part-time now that Paul Heyman's in control, but they're not satisfied with him as champion either. So now they're looking down the barrel of a feature match at SummerSlam where they really don't care so much for either one that wins. That's not good. So let's see what SummerSlam is shaping up to be. Becky Lynch, who the fans definitely care about, against Natty, who the fans do not care about. So nobody cares about this match. And no matter how much they have Natty Neidhart call her a bitch, and I'm going to pull your orange hair out, that's not going to help. Nobody cares. So Seth Rollins against Lesnar, eh. Fans are yawning at that. We don't really care. We weren't too happy with Seth as champion, and we're not happy with Brock. Either way this works out, one of them's going to be the champ, so who cares? So there's two matches already that nobody cares. That's not good. How come we couldn't have had a fresh face? How come one of the 10 guys couldn't have showed up, you know? And you say, I don't know where Rey Mysterio is. There's supposed to be 10 guys in this thing. If he was hurt, somebody's supposed to take his place. I don't know. Why couldn't we have had Bray Wyatt be that 10th guy? And when the lights go out, he's got Seth Rollins, and he throws him over the ropes. And Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are shitting their pants at what the freak kind of, who is that? And that's what I got to face? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Fans would have got behind that. I know, you want to make Bray Wyatt the bad guy. I get it. But boy, that would have shocked the hell out of fans. Even if you reversed it later. Even if you said, well, he can't win. He wasn't in it. It still would have been a much better debut. Right now, the WWE's got a problem. And the problem is there's no contenders. You have focused so hard on your champions that you have failed to build serious and qualified contenders that fans will relate to, whether they hate them or they love them, or take seriously as contenders. When you're going to tell me, we've scoured both federations for the top 10 guys, and I've just told you that 6 out of them 10 guys don't belong because they've lost their matches, you don't even have the guys in there that beat them. You have Cesaro, but you don't have Aleister Black. Why? Aleister Black beat Cesaro. Why is Cesaro in for a contention, but a guy who beat him isn't? Why is Bobby Lashley in there when he lost? Why is Big E in there? He's a tag team champion. That has nothing to do with being a heavyweight champion. He's a tag team guy. Why is he in there? Why is Sami Zayn in there? What has Sami Zayn done? You've proven my point. You have built up no contenders. And now you've painted yourself in a corner where it's got to be the same old matches over and over and over. And if you do not make that correction immediately and start building up top guys, I don't care who's in charge. It's not going to work. My mailbox was flooded with people saying, I'm not really interested in Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Why did they do that? That's not really a match I want to see. Why did they have to do that? Couldn't they just have put that before SummerSlam and got it over with so we could see something fresh and new? Yeah, they could have. Couldn't they have pulled something where Roman Reigns and Seth fall out at the same time and they got to fight each other at SummerSlam or they got to fight each other before SummerSlam, which would be interesting? Yeah, they could have. There's a lot of things they could have done. Instead, they just went with Seth Rollins is going to fight him at SummerSlam anyway, so let's just make Seth win, but we'll put together a match so we can get a bunch of guys on TV. That was awful. Mike, for the life of me, I do not understand how the WWE can think that they are going to win back their fan base when they just keep rehashing the same old matches.
Right, and I don't get it either. And look, wouldn't it have been interesting? This is supposed to be a cross company match, right? Wouldn't it have been interesting if Kobe was in that match? You know? I mean, wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah, he's got the world championship, but he could have been playing up. Well, if Kobe wins this thing, there could be a unification match, you know, or something like that. That could have been interesting. I mean, like I said, where was AJ Styles? Where was Nakamura? You know, I mean, where was if you're talking about cross company? I mean, where was Where was Adam Cole? Where was Walter? You know?
Right. That's what I mean. Even if you want to say, well, it's only just going to be Raw and SmackDown. Okay. Well, then, once again, why would AJ Styles not be in it? Why would Nakamura not be in it? Why would Aleister Black not be in it? These are guys who you would have to assume would be in it ahead of Big E, and why is Kevin Owens not in it? Well, these are good. Let me tell you something. You want to really build up some interest, Kevin Owens and Brock Lesnar, fans would love that. I don't know if it would be a good match, but fans would love it. But you can't say we have picked the 10 most elite people from both federations, and then 6 out of 10 of them don't deserve to be in there. Because then you look like a big fat liar. And fans know better. They're like, this isn't the top of the elite. If I had to pick the 10 top guys, yes, Roman Reigns. Yes, Seth Rollins. Yes, Braun Strowman. Then it would have to be AJ Styles. Maybe Drew McIntyre. Nakamura. Aleister Black. You know, I mean, come on. A lot of guys here that haven't lost much. How come they're not in it? But Sami Zayn is. Rey Mysterio is. The problem is very simple. You have not built anyone up. You don't have tiers. You used to have tiers where you're like, you got your champions. And then you got your real A-level guys. And they're always going to be right there trying to challenge those champions. And then you got like your B-level guys who they'll challenge a champion once in a while. And, you know, sometimes they'll move up to that A-level. And then you have your C and D guys who are just there to make people look good. We don't have any of that. We have our champions and then we have C-level. That's it. There's no A-level. There's no B-level. There's champions and jabrones. With a couple of exceptions. And it can't be that way. You got to spend just as much, if not more time. Your champions build themselves up. They got a belt. You got to spend time building up that next big contender that the fans say, oh, I wonder what's going to happen if this guy gets a title shot. You haven't done that. And I thought Paul Heyman would definitely do it. I thought we'd see a lot of these matches where Paul Heyman was trying to rehab people like a Bobby Roode. But so far, I haven't seen that. Paul Heyman had the ability last night to rehab a guy like Bobby Roode. All he really had to do was have Bobby Roode take the first fall. Or the second fall. Make the first fall go that way, but make it 8 minutes into it, the first fall, or 6 minutes into it, the first fall. Bobby Roode comes from behind, gives him somebody his finisher. He looks like $1 million. He's like, he just polished a guy off in 10 seconds. And then when one of the Revival accidentally bump him or something, he says, F you, and walks away. Leaves them to their own devices, and you say, well, Bobby Roode didn't get touched in this match. Bobby Roode was dominating. And then you've built up Bobby Roode a little, haven't you? No, can't do that. You could have had Cesaro hang around to the end, at least in the Battle Royal. So you could have said, man, this Cesaro is on a roll. He put on one of the greatest matches ever against Aleister Black, and he's in there in the final four in the Battle Royal. And wow. How come you couldn't have given Cesaro Randy Orton's spot? You don't think Cesaro deserves that more than Orton? How about if Cesaro had snuck up behind Seth Rollins and been one of the last two in the ring? Wouldn't that have been interesting? You know why you didn't do it, WWE? I'll tell you why you didn't do it. Because all the fans would have rooted for Cesaro. And you didn't want that. You didn't want to make Seth Rollins look bad. But ask yourself this question. What do you care? If all the fans were rooting for Cesaro, then that tells you something, doesn't it? It tells you that's what they want to see. So why don't you give it to them? Todd, it doesn't look like we're getting these build-ups like I thought we were going to get from the Heyman era.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember back in the day, you had the old school booking with you have the A level guys, the B level guys, and C level guys building up each other on back then on different things. But now it's like this champions and jabrones. Like, oh, come on now.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where things are getting serious here, because a ship can only sink so far before you can save it from going under. I don't care who the captain is. And right now, the WWE, on the heels of the best pay-per-view I have seen in a long, long time, had the ability to carry that momentum into Monday Night Raw, and they totally blew it, with a couple of exceptions. There was a couple of things I liked. I liked the Drew McIntyre thing, even though I wasn't thrilled with how it went. I do think the ending was fine. I just think there were some holes in the logic of the production of that match. Bray Wyatt's intro was met very well with fans, and it was pretty damn good. There was a couple of backstage segments that I thought was pretty good. Oh, let me just get this out of the way. I'm getting annoyed with the Street Profits. A, they're not funny. B, they're trying way too hard to be the New Day. C, if they're the tag team champions, why do they just keep hanging around a federation they have no intention of wrestling for? It makes them almost look like, well, we're not interested in being the NXT tag team champions. I don't know why they're on every show. Just doing some things. But I'm fast falling out of favor with them. I don't think they're all that entertaining. So I'm not sure where that's going, Mike.
I'm not sure either. And to me, they didn't originally feel like the New Day to me. They felt more like, what's the name? Shad Gaspar and Crime Time.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they felt like to me. And basically, they've toned what they were in NXT way down to come up to the you go and you look at them in NXT, they've got charisma. They're interesting, you know. Well, we're here, they're just getting to be annoying.
Yeah, now all they do is just yuck it up. Everything, make fun of everybody. Well, it's not funny. It's just juvenile. It's like a bunch of two dumb teenagers sitting on a street corner, pointing at people that go by and laughing at them. How is that interesting? You're not doing anything with them. I don't get it. If anything, they should have been like the anti-New Day. And have a nice feud with them if that's what you wanted to do or whatever. But no, they're just, you know, Chuckles the Clown. Everything's a joke. Don't like it. So I don't know. I do know that it's a very dangerous thing when an entire crowd who used to love Alexa Bliss starts chanting, "You suck." And I'm pretty sure they were chanting it at Alexa. They might have been chanting it at Natty, but I don't think so. Looked to me like they were chanting it at Alex and Nikki Cross. And that's not good, because they used to eat out of the palm of Alexa Bliss's hand, which means you have lost the crowd with her. That's your fault. Carmella doesn't do anything charismatic anymore. How come she doesn't come out and use the microphone anymore? When you have someone has a strength, you have to play to it. When someone has a weakness, you play it down. So a guy like Brock Lesnar, he's not good on the mic. So you just don't give him the mic. Just like you don't. A guy like Enzo, who was great on the mic, he's got to have the mic every time he goes out there. Derek's saying they might have been chanting at Carmella. No, they weren't, because Carmella was gone by that time. The only people in the ring at that time was Natty and Alexa Bliss when the You Suck chant started going up. Although Nikki Cross was around ringside aggravating the fans by telling them both to shut up and cheer for Alexa Bliss at the same time. All I know is this. You had a golden opportunity to capitalize on a great pay-per-view, and I was very let down. The only thing I truly enjoyed, and even that was produced wrong, was the Drew McIntyre match. I thought the backstage thing with him and Cedric Alexander was terrific. The match itself was good. However, if you're going to tell the story that Drew McIntyre is overconfident and overlooked Cedric Alexander's athletic ability, then you cannot have Cedric Alexander winning the beginning of that match. Because once a guy overconfident sees, wait a minute, this guy's winning, he's not going to be overconfident anymore. He's going to tighten his game, right? So what you should do is have had Drew McIntyre dominate. Let Cedric get one or two moves in the beginning, and then Drew dominate. Look like he could finish him off at any time, but his own ego gets in the way, and then, whoop, he gets rolled up. But something's up, because the look on Drew McIntyre's face was very different than he normally does, and he's a good actor that way. And that look wasn't, I'm going to kill Cedric Alexander. That look was, I need to rethink things. He looked genuinely embarrassed and downbeaten, and something's up. We'll see where that goes. Aside from that, the Bray Wyatt thing, which was pretty cool, even though I wouldn't have picked that particular spot, at least he looked good. The fans reacted well to it, so that's a positive. Brock Lesnar was there, so I guess that's a positive. So there are two or three positive things. But the fans losing interest in Seth Rollins, that better worry you. And it better worry you big time, because I got news. You know, you haven't built anybody else up. The fans totally losing interest in the women's division as a whole, except for Becky Lynch. That better worry you and worry you big. And that's your fault, because you haven't built anybody else up. And the fact that you don't have a legitimate number one contender other than the same old for your top titles, that better worry you, because that's your fault. This has got to get corrected. Nothing can go forward well in this federation until you correct that. And right now you're not. Name me the next contender for Kofi Kingston. Who's that going to be? Daniel Bryan again? Dolph Ziggler again? Gee, I don't know. We hadn't thought that far. You're right. We don't seem to have anybody. I know. Let's have a battle royal with Mojo Rawley and the Cologne Brothers and Dolph Ziggler and a couple other guys. And we'll just let Dolph Ziggler win and he can have that match again. Yeah, that'll work. Brilliant. That's what you did last night on Raw. It's exactly what you did. Lazy booking from Paul Heyman. Now I'll give him this one time. I'm willing to say, okay, let's see what happens. I realize if you're trying to reset the table, sometimes it's ugly in the beginning. But next week, this show better shine. Because this was not a good show. It wasn't a disaster. It's not an F. But coming off the heels of a great pay-per-view, you were given a softball pitch right down the center to hit a home run. And you fouled it off at best. So I'm giving it a C-. And I think I'm being a little bit kind. Mike, what's your rating?
I got to go with you, a C minus. And look,
I don't think we have Mike there currently, so let's go to Todd. Todd, what is your rating?
I got to go with you there. I got to go with a C minus.
Yeah, it looks like we might have lost the phones. That's interesting. Since we still got him on the line, let's try one more time. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, we've lost the phone lines for some reason, folks. At least I have. Says that you guys can hear him. That's interesting. Oh, Blog Talk Radio, how wonderful you are. Mike says a C minus. Derek can hear him in the chat room. I can't hear him. Unbelievable. All right. Well, Todd, what are you going to give it? And I guess we'll just have the chat room reiterate it to me.
I got a C minus.
Strange. Don't know what happened there. We seem to have lost the phone lines on our end. Anyway, looks like a C minus show all the way around, and it shouldn't be that way, folks. It shouldn't be that way. It was so easy. So easy to make this at least a B plus. And you blew it. And that's Paul Heyman at the helm. Okay, he's not everything. It's not a one-man show. I get it. But Paul Heyman was hired to be basically the producer of this show. He's responsible for the most part of what goes out. Yes, it's got to run by Vince McMahon. Yes, he has writers. I get it. But at the end of the day, Paul Heyman, it was hired to do this. His name is going to be on the product. When we looked up, they said, Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff. Paul Heyman gets Raw, Eric Bischoff gets SmackDown. So they're the ones that's going to be responsible. And this was not a Paul Heyman-esque show. This was business as usual. And we're staring down the barrel of a show next week that's going to be filled with nonsense. It's going to be filled with The Godfather and Devon Dudley and what's his name there? Santino Marella and all these people. And you know nothing big is going to happen. You know it's going to be just a nostalgia show with a few matches thrown in. How is this going to work? Why, you know, you've only got a few weeks till SummerSlam and you're worried about this shit. You got a few weeks to SummerSlam and you got a rematch with Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. Nobody wants to see a Natty Neidhart taking on Becky Lynch as your two big matches. We have no idea who's going to take on Kofi Kingston. Maybe we'll find out tonight. Please, somebody tell me on the roster, who is it? Who is it going to be? Who's that guy that we're like, oh, my goodness. Kofi's going to take this guy on. That's going to be a great man. Who? It better be Ali because there's nobody else, but I don't think you're going to do that. Because what do you want? After this big buildup, Ali comes back and I just got my ass beat. I don't know who it's going to be. Unless they run instantly with Aleister Black, and that's too soon. So I don't know, folks. All I know is this. This is what happens when you don't pay attention to your roster. You have the best and biggest roster you have ever had, and you have not used them to the point where you can't even come up with 10 people in a battle royal that are really elite. And you come off an A-plus show, and you can't get better than a C-minus grade on your Raw. Anyway, in closing, for the people who didn't listen to the opening of the show, unlike the Jim Cornette show, we value all of our fans. We don't care who you vote for. We don't care what party you're registered to. We don't care what your political ideology is. You are always welcome to listen. You are always welcome to write in with your views. Because at the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans, and we're not defined by what side we vote for, Mr. Cornette. We'll talk to you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.